जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्री चैतन्य चरितमृत Madhya Lila, Chapter 21, The Opulence and Sweetness of Lord Krishna. Text number 91, please repeat. Goloka Akhya Gokula Mathura Dvaravati Eitinaloke Krishnera Sahaje Nityasthiti. Goloka kya gokula mathura dvaravati. Eitina loke krishnera sahaje nityasthiti. Goloka Akhya, called Goloka, Gokula, Gokula, Mathura, Mathura, Dvaravadi, Dvaraka, Eitinaloke, all three of these places, Krishnera, of Lord Krishna, Sahaje, naturally, Nityasthiti, eternal residence. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The three lokas are Gokula, Goloka, Mathura and Dvaraka. Krishna lives eternally in these three places. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that in the Goloka planet there are three divisions. Gokula, Mathura and Dvaraka. In his incarnation as Gaurasundar, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord conducts his pastimes in three areas, Navadvipa, Jagannathapuri in South India, and Vraja Mandala, the area of Vrindavan Dham. Golokakya Gokula Mathura Dvaravati Eitina Loke Krishnera Sahaja Nityasthiti. The three lokas are Gokula, Goloka, Mathura and Dvaraka. Krishna lives eternally in these three places. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chukshurun Vilitam Vinatas Mai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, Lord Chaitanya continues discussing the opulences of Krishna, and in the last few verses, the story about Brahma visiting Lord Krishna in Dvaraka ended up. And now it is explained how Krishna manifests eternally his form as two-handed Krishna in three places. And these are Dvaraka, Mathura and Gokula. And in the purport, we see the explanation that in Goloka, Vrindavan planet, there are three areas. And one is Gokula, Mathura and Dvaraka. What is the difference between these three places in the spiritual world? Anyone knows? Yeah? Okay. One is more perfect and the third is most perfect. Yeah, Gokula is most perfect, Mathura is perfect, more perfect, and the perfect is Dvaraka. Well, any other differences? Yeah, Jamashtami.
There is no power.
about servant? What about Shanta? No? Okay, yeah, that's correct. There are all the rasas are there. Actually, it's said that in Gokula, that's the only place when all the rasas are manifested in such a way, as in the most sweet way. And there Krishna, Shyama Sundara or Vraja Krishna, is only manifested in his form of Akila Rasa Amrita Murti, one who enjoys all unlimited different types of rasa, but they are manifested only in Gokula, where this mood of own reference is absent. Yes, this is the most important difference. In one of his works, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami explains how it's a work which describes Lord Krishna's associates and the places in Vrajabhumi. And he, in one verse, says how the ocean of their prema is so strong, and the intimacy is so strong of these residents of Gokula that this ocean, the waves of this ocean, cast away all moods of awe and reverence. So there is nothing. And this is the only place where such intimate rasas can be exchanged, because in Mathura, the other differences besides that there is all in reference, what other differences? Anyone can think of another difference, which is connected with their own reverence, but what is, everybody. But yeah, basically in Mathura and in Dwaraka, they're aware that Krishna is God. It's mixed. In Vaikuntha, there is predominantly the awareness and the awe and reverence as Lord Narayan, as the Supreme Lord. And Dwaraka and Mathura is mixed, but you know they love him, Devaki and Vasudeva, that Krishna is their son. They have this mood of parental rasa, but they are aware that he is God. So all the other devotees in those two places. And this is something which impedes certain exchanges in the rasa. So when this is absent, awareness that he is supreme, then there is a possibility for a very, very, very great intimacy. What about the residents of Vrindavan, of Gokula? Do they know that he is God? Do they think that he is God sometimes? What happens with Mother Yashoda when she sees the universe in Krishna's mouth? What happens with the Nanda Maharaj and the other gopas when they see also, when they take bath in this, the kunda and Krishna displays, when they see? What happens when he kills all kinds of demons and then they start thinking, what, maybe he is? He's a very powerful person, and Garga Muni said that he is like Narayan, but not Narayan. So they think, he is a special boy, he's very, very special. He's like Narayan. This is confirmed by Narada Muni, by Garga Muni, but he displays this, you know, majestic deeds only because of the mercy of Narayan, God. Or even if they momentarily have doubts, you know, maybe he's so powerful. But, you know, this is, by their strong prema, this is, again, you know, washed away. Yeah, that was exactly the words that Raghunath Das Goswami, by the waves of their prema, it's washed away, this mood, immediately. Okay, you know, Mother Yashoda sees the universe, and who is Krishna? You know, she's, this feelings of awe and reverence starts to come, but then immediately, oh, there's something. You know, okay, he's my child, and she ties him off. So like that, this is something which we find only in Gokula, this specific mood of service without any tinge of awe and reverence. And we can see that the descriptions given in Shastras of Gokula, although they mentioned that there is awe and there is reverence and there is it is not that type of awe and reverence which is because of the awareness of his features as God. Where this place is described, anyone can think of Goloka? In which shastra? It is very vividly described. Brahma Samhita, we sing every morning. So the prayers of Brahma, when Lord Krishna gives him darshan, he starts as reciting a hymn. And this begins with Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpa Vriksha. In this place, Chintamani, in this Dhamma, Chintamani, the abodes and the land is made of touchstone, Chintamani. Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpa Vriksha. The trees are desire trees, there's wish fulfilling trees. Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpa Vriksha Laksha Vriteshu Surabhi Abhipalayantam. It's millions of cows, which are Surabhi cows, not ordinary cows. They also fulfill all desires and give unlimited milk, quantities of milk. And then Lakshmi Sahasra, also millions and millions of Lakshmis or Gopis. Lakshmi Sahasra Sambramami Sevyamanam. Sambramami means with great attention and reverence also. The Gopis serve Lord Govinda. But this type of reverence is again due to their strong conjugal love, because they love him so much. It's not because of that he is God and they have to revere him in that way. And then the next verse describes more details of the features of Krishna, which we sing every morning. Venum kvanantam, he plays the flute. Aravindaksha dalayataksha. Venum kvanantam Aravinda Dalaya Taksham, that his eyes resemble the blooming Aravinda, blooming lotuses. Venum Kvanantam Aravinda Dalaya Taksham, Barhavatamsam. Barhavatamsam means he's decorated with peacock feather. Barhavatamsam Asitam Buddha Sundarangam, his beautiful Sundaranga, his beautiful feature of the body. Is resembling Asitam Buddha, means blue cloud. His bodily hue is like a fresh cloud. Then Kandarpa Koti, millions of Kandarpas, the love, the God loves, or Cupids, they are charmed by his beauty. Or other translation is that their beauty, the beauty of Kandarpa, who is considered the most beautiful in this material world, millions and millions of them, put them together, it cannot at all compare with the beauty of Shyama Sundara. And then Alola Chandrakala Sadvana Mali Vamshi. Alola Chandra, Alola means hanging. There is two things which are moving to and fro, which is one is Chandraka, a moon locket. Have you noticed a locket on Gopinath's chest? Sometimes, especially in the evening when he just has his dress and no garlands and no decorations. Have you noticed what he wears all the time? No one noticed. Well, he wears Kaushtubha, but Gopinath doesn't have it manifested, at least in front of our eyes, but he has a locket. Anyone notice how it looks like? Any pujari is dressed Gopinath? There is a locket. What is the form of it? It's a tiger nail. It's like this. It's there because of Mother Yashoda puts different talismans and things that protect. So again, example of that. That this awareness that he is God and he's all powerful is not there, so he needs protection. So whenever he kills a demon or something happens, Lord Narayan protect him. But now we have to chant mantras and touch his body with different mantras and then kavacha. So he's all protected. So put him tiger nail, which is considered a protective kavacha. So this is Chandraka Lasad Vanamali. Vanamali is a forest garland made of seven types of forest flowers. Alola Chandraka Vanamali Vamshi. He's also holding the flute. Alola Chandraka Vanamali Vamshi. Ratnanganam Pranayakeli Kalavila Sam. He also has all kinds of jewels. Mainly flowers, Prabhupada says. Krishna in Vrindavan is just a village boy who likes forest decoration and flowers. But he also has jewels. But in Vaikuntha is so opulent, gold and jewels and all kinds of. He also wears makara kundalas, the shark shape, or actually makara is some animal which is the king of ocean, and it has the features of a mouth of a shark, elephant trunk, and a body of an alligator. So it's kind of a very special. And so this shape, he has earrings like that. If you haven't seen makaras, like sculptures of that, if you go to Jagannath Puri and visit the temple of Tota Gopinath, where you can actually enter, it's one of the places where you can see the deities. Unlike in Jagannath Puri, in the Jagannath temple or in the Gundicha temple, normally you cannot. Well, the Gundicha room is there, but the other, when Jagannath travels and goes Avalanath, and what was the name? Anyway, the place where Jagannath stays for some time before the yatra, Ratha Yatra, so this is also, you cannot enter unless you are born Hindu. But in Tota Gopinath you can go. So just in front, those who have been there, just in front, when you go in the courtyard, there is a huge, like 2 meter statue of a makara. You can see how it looks like. So, and also in Tota Gopinath, often they put him big, huge makara earrings. And our Gopinath also have. Sometimes they put earrings on solid gold, silver. It's a whitish, like that long. So these are the makara earrings, and then he wears some jewels, and Pranaya Keli, he always is engaged in pastimes of love with his devotees. But especially these are, these verses go on and explain Krishna and then his different incarnations as Mahavishnu and Kshirada Kshaya Vishnu, like that. Then he's empowered also demigods, how they worship him, like Brahma and Mahesh, Shiva, like that. And at the end, he completes his prayers also with 2 verses which exactly describe Goloka, and even the name is stated there. And they, like that, what was that? Shriya Kanta, Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpataravo. So there, the Supreme Purusha, who is the Supreme Lover Kanta, he is served again by his beloveds, Kantas, his lovers. And again, there are Chintamani stones in the land, Shriya Kanta, Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpataravo. Druma Bhumish Chintamani, again, the land is made of Chintamani. Toyam Amritam. Toya means water, and water is amrita. Yes. Even the water is very, very tasty, amrita. And then katha ganam, katha ganam natyam gamanam means whatever you speak is song, gana. However you move, it's natyam. Gamanam means moving, it's natyam, it's a dance. So every word is a song, every movement is a dance. Everything is very beautiful. And Kanta Ganam Ganam Abhi Vamshi Priya Sakhi. The Vamshi is a very dear friend, a constant companion. Jyoti Paramapi Tadasvarem Apya. Also everything is blissful, effulgent, and full of ecstatic love. And then Sayatra Kshiradi Surabhi Surabhi means this place. Again, there are millions of cows who supply unlimited quantities of milk. And there also you have Nimeshardakyo Vavrajachina Hyatrapi Samaye, means the time there doesn't flow. even for a moment, that's literally what it says, that there is eternal presence of time. There is only eternal present. There is no destructive power of passing time. It means that the devotees are, in the purport of Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati explains that the devotees are so absorbed in the service of Krishna that there is no passage of time. And although to us, when we hear the stories of what happens, obviously there is something which resembles our passage of time, like there is day and night, different things happen at different times of the day, Ashtakali Lilat, the day and night are divided in 8 parts, and Krishna does different activities. And when they meet, they talk about what happened yesterday or last night, or what they are arranging meetings in the future. So what does that mean? Is there a time or not? So it's interesting, yeah, there is a type of time, but it doesn't pass. And also it's because the time actually means eternity, eternally present. This is even some glimpses of realization some of the philosophers have, like early Christian Augustine. He analyzed time and he came to the conclusion that the basis of time is actually eternity. That's the ontological feature or the being of God. So yeah, in this eternal existence, why there is no passage? Because you are constantly, presently in contact with Krishna, even though it's not all the time face to face, but because of the remembrance, you're always with Krishna and you're eternally connected. Yeah, so and then at the end it says in this verse of Brahma Samhita that Shweta Dvipam Tam Aham Iha Golokam Itiyam Vidantaste Santa Kshiti Viralachara Katipaye, that this place of Goloka, Shweta Dvipa, is I worship, and this place is only known to very, very, very few in this world. Very, very few enlightened persons. So, yeah, this knowledge and understanding of the highest realm of Krishna is attained at a very, very advanced stage. Yeah? So very few people can have glimpse and understand that. So how do we go there? Or if we see like their description that Krishna is manifested in these three places, what determines where we go? Because there are Vaikuntha planets, so many spiritual world is unlimited. So our goal is to go there in general, right? So how do we know where we'll end up when we reach perfection in our practice? Any suggestions? Is it happened by chance? You know, whatever you remember. But let's say I remember Krishna. So where do I go? I go to Krishna, but to which place? That's my question. Do I go to Mathura? Or because there are different regions. It's spiritual world, you get liberation, you go there, but where exactly? Yeah? Yeah, depends on your relationship with Krishna. And which depends on? And that depends on? On your desire. Okay. Yeah? In the mood. Yeah, that depends on your mood and desire. You have a certain mood and certain desire, so you're attracted to worship Krishna in a particular way. You develop that, and then you reach. So technically how this happens, you go through different stages. To go to the spiritual world, you must be on which stage? Compared from Shraddha to Prema, which is the stage? Prema. And because Prema is the only 100% pure. So no one can enter the spiritual world without being. But Bhava means liberation already. So when you attain Bhava, you're liberated. But there's still less than 1% some contamination. So you have to clean that. And that happens normally in the somewhere where you take birth in a place where Krishna manifests his pastimes in this material universe. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath. And then through association with the Nitya Siddha Prema Bhakta of the Lord, you develop your prema. I mean, you become completely pure. And this, there are examples of in Bhagavatam. For example, during the Rasa Lila, some gopis couldn't go there. And these are those gopis who were not completely perfect. But because of their strong separation and love for Krishna and association with the Nitya Siddha devotees, they actually were purified and they developed their prema. So on the level of prema, there is no going back. That's it. You go to the spiritual world, there is no returning back. But on the level of bhava, you may fall down. That's the example of Bharat Maharaj and other examples. So these are the stages. How do you attain bhava and then prema? You go gradually. I mean, sometimes acharyas say that you may even not go through all the steps gradually by the mercy of a devotee or of Krishna. You may jump up, but normally you go through the stages. So these stages begin with your faith, association with devotees, practicing devotional service, clearing all anarthas, or most of them, attaining steadiness, developing taste, attachment, and then bhava, means the preliminary stage of love. So where the path of before bhava and prema, there are three practices of bhakti described in Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. These are prema, bhava, and the beginning one is sadhana. So sadhana, you start with sadhana, you go to bhava, and then prema. So sadhana has how many components? Two, which are Vaidhi and Raganuga. So there are two ways to reach bhava and prema, and this is one thing which determines where you will end up, where you go when you attain perfection. So one is you start with Vaidhi and you continue with Vaidhi and you reach prema, you reach bhava and prema. And the other is you start with Vaidhi, you develop Raganuga, and then you attain bhava and prema. So Raganuga is defined, there are different definitions, but you know, Srila Prabhupada in Nectar of Devotion basically explains it in a simple way, saying that Vaidhi is worship through rules and regulations, and Raganuga is spontaneous worship, where rules and regulations are not compulsory in the worship. And one doesn't follow everything just because one has to follow, but one follows because one is very eager, spontaneously. And he gives example, you know, in the beginning, you have to get up, you know, you want to sleep, but you get up in the morning and you go, and you maybe half asleep, but you still try to, you know, sing and dance in front of Radha Gopina. But when you are become more purified, more attracted, you jump, you wake up, no need of alarm clocks, you wake up and, you know, you run, and where is Krishna? You know they are waking up. They are eating some sweets now, and then the altar opens, and then you see them. And you are very happy to see them. So this is spontaneous. This is how Prabhupada explains two ways, so we can understand. But the specific definition of Raganuga is it literally means, Anuga means following those who have Raga. And these are the Ragatmika devotees. The Ragatmika devotees are only the devotees in Gokula. These are those devotees who don't have, as we explained, the mood of awe and reverence and the awareness that Krishna is God. So these are the Ragatmika devotees. And those devotees of Vaishnavas who follow in their footsteps, they practice Raganuga. It's a practice. It's also sadhana. But then it starts generally when you attain at least the stage of nishta, when you're steady, when you don't have anatras, no, you know, sinful desires or actions like that. And then you're attracted to... what is the qualification again? Normally it's just your eagerness, your very strong desire. That's what he says, laulam. When you have laulam to follow, when you have a really like greed and very strong desire to follow the residents, some of the residents of Gokula, then you are eligible to practice Raganuga Bhakti. But there is a detail in that, and unfortunately, different misconceptions may lead to a wrong interpretation and a wrong following of this. And that is that if you say, well, that's the only qualification, I just need to want it. It doesn't matter what I do. So what will that? That could lead to the practice of the so-called sahajiya, prakriti sahajiya. Sahajiya means natural. It's, I think, here. Sahajiya nitya sthiti is naturally. Naturally. So sahajiya means natural love, but prakriti means the cheap. You know, it's cheaply attained. I just want it, but it doesn't matter what I do. So it says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you don't, Raganuga means no following regulative principles, and means you have to just desire it. So if I desire it, I don't need to follow any regulative principles, and that's enough. And you know, Krishna doesn't mind. You know, if I love him, if I'm attracted in this way, if I engage in sense gratification, why should he matter? You know, for him, he wouldn't mind, isn't that? There is a logic in that, right? But it's not the point. Somebody who says, I've read some explanations, justifications of such kind of devotees, who say that, well, Krishna wouldn't mind, you know, if I do some things in sense gratification. Well, what's the problem, you know? It's the connection with him and our love with him. But that means, those who speak like that means they have no idea what it means to be attracted by Krishna and to actually love him. Because when you become attached, when you have some taste even, or you experience asakti, Krishna reveals, through his shaktis, reveal his irresistible attractiveness and his beauty and his loveliness, and you become infatuated with him completely. You become mad. I mean, there are different levels of madness which end up in prema, where you are, which in Chaitanya Charitamrita it's explained, the highest level exhibited by Srimati Radharani. But even the stage of even before Bhava, you can have this. So that means there is nothing else. You know, any types of anything in the material world becomes pale. Any sense gratification, not just pale and uninteresting tucha vat, like Narottam Das Thakur says, but it's disgusting actually. So if you say, well, I can do some sense gratification and love Krishna, it means you have no idea what love for Krishna means. It's just something theoretical, or some kind of maybe some shadow sentiment. It's disgusting, and that's why when Prabhupada speaks and quotes often this verse from Yamunacharya, specifically talking about attraction to sex life, and he's disgusted by it. And I've heard devotees who've been present when Prabhupada spoke, one instance in Bhaktivedanta Manor, quite early, in the early 70s when they had it, and Prabhupada once was quoting this verse, and then he said, so whenever this thought comes to such pure devotee, and he spits on it, that's the verse. So Prabhupada did it actually like that. And that's the devotee said, you could see that he was really like feeling it, like disgust just by the thought. And I recently read again, I think it was in the Nectar of Devotion, again, he said, unless one is disgusted with the idea of sense gratification, or understand that it's abominable, there is no question of advancement, I mean, on the high level. So, I mean, that cannot be imitated. Again, that devotee who told me that Prabhupada disciple, he said, later on I've seen sannyasi who also did the same thing and was spitting like Prabhupada and giving this by quoting this verse, but then he fell down. So we shouldn't think that, well, we can just, you should be careful. That's the point. That's the point. We have to be careful. But it's explained in 111, it's in 11 verse because there are invocations in the beginning, but when Rupa Goswami gives the definition of Uttam Bhakti, it's very clear what does that mean to be qualified. So there is, besides just the Laulam of desiring to follow the footsteps, you must have some other qualification. You must be practicing this Uttama Bhakti. And what are the symptoms of this Uttama Bhakti? Anyone remembers the verse where he defines bhakti? This is the fundamental verse, you know, in our Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. Okay, so he says Anya Abhilash, right? What is Abhilash? Is desire. Do we practice actually Raga Nuga every morning? At least do we desire to attain it? Do we say something, pronounce it explicitly every day? Ei mora abhilash, vilas kunjeti vas. I please, my desire is to become a resident of Goloka, of Gokula, in the groves of Vrindavan. I want to be a resident. Ei nivedana dharo. I want my nivedana dharo sakirano gata kor. Again, my desire is to be follower of the sakis and be. Please give me the prayer to Vrinda Devis. Please give me the privilege, the adhikara, to be nijadasi, to be their own servant. So this is, you know, this is a desire you express every day, but you have to mean it, of course, not just mechanically chant it. And that's what we desire. So we want to attain it. And abhilash, but anya abhilash, this means the only desire, anya, nothing else. Anya, other desires, anya abhilash, shunya, void, zero, nothing. No other desire than what? Anukulena Krishna Anushilan. Means that you have a positive or favorable desire, and only that desire, nothing else, to Shilanam, Krishna Anushilana means doing something for Krishna with the intention to please him. So if that's your only mood, this is that makes you that you are following or practicing Uttama Bhakti. And then when you develop a particular strong desire to follow, some devotees with certain mood, then you are qualified to practice. Otherwise, if we just imagine it without having the qualification, the adhikar, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I think in Bhajan Rahasya, the spiritual strength and purification for that practice, because it's the practice of Gaudiya Vaishnava, but if you jump prematurely, what will happen? He says, your mind will start reeling, meaning you'll fall down. And because this again and again happened in the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, especially before Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that led to such a degradation of Gaudiya Sampradaya that after Bhaktivinoda Thakur, especially Gaur Kishore Das Bhava, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Srila Prabhupada, they discourage premature, like that you start practicing bhakti and you start with Raga Nuga, because nobody is qualified like that. And you have to be purified to practice that. So, if we want to know, but still, okay, I practice for some time, I really want to serve in a particular mood, but I don't know, how can, who do what I follow? I heard devotees like that, because Srila Prabhupada gives that, and he, actually again, he just quotes Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's commentary, like in this verse, in the 8th verse of Nectar of Instruction. This is the essence of advice, Upadesha Amrita. And that there, Rupa Goswami exactly says this one should follow the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. And so this is what we have to do. And devotees sometimes ask, but I don't know whom, I don't know who am I don't know whom I'd follow. So if I don't know who am I, how can I choose? So this is a question. And do I just think about it and okay, because it's described, there's some graduation and maybe I should just go for the highest and then I choose, but that's not the process that you kind of select. Srila Prabhupada in one lecture, I remember hearing how he said it, that you practice very nicely, very strictly, you follow Vaidhi, you follow sadhana, the Vaidhi process, then one day you know. One day you know your relationship. It's just manifest. And Srila Prabhupada said it many times, it's our relationship is eternal with Krishna. So our particular mood is also eternal. So again, the definition of sadhana in general, Rupa Goswami says, that practice which leads to Nitya Siddhasya Bhavasa, means to the manifestation of the eternal bhava you have for Krishna. So this is what supposed to happen. It should happen, it will happen for sure. The question is, again, if we don't know how we can choose. It's not necessary that you cannot follow the residence of Vrindavana. And one thing is, as the example of Srila Prabhupada was asked when devotees early, they read Nectar, oh, we should follow, and Prabhupada, what does it mean? Does that mean that we should follow you? Because we know you are, you are such a devotee of the Lord, you are such a resident. And Prabhupada said, yes. So that makes it very simple, You follow Prabhupada, you follow eternal resident, and you will go to that place. And the others, you just understand the general mood. You maybe not have a particular mood with any of the rasas and any devotees who have those rasas, but you can understand what is the general mood which they all have. And this is also very nicely illustrated in this work, Vrajavilasa Stava by Raghunath Das Goswami, when he describes, I think, in all of the categories of servants, friends, parents, and lovers of Krishna. And he describes someone and he says, and for him or for her, Krishna is millions of times more dear than their own life. So this is a mood, right? For all of them, for all the residents of Goloka. So you can try to become completely selfless, and you just want Krishna's pleasure only, and you want that he becomes a million times more dear than your life. That is the general mood for all of them, and you can follow that. You follow the residents of Vrindavan. And yeah, so if we follow Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, we are guaranteed that we will reach that destination, which is again according to our most cherished desires. It may not be, some devotees are attracted to other features or other manifestations of Krishna. So by following just Vaidhi, they go to Bhava Prema, they got liberation in Vaikuntha, or in Dvaraka, or Mathura, or in Ayodhya, like that. But what happens with those who worship Krishna, but just by Vaidhi? They still go there, and when attain Prema, but they don't follow the Raga Atmika, the Bhakti, Bhaktas. What happened? Where they go? No, because in Vaikuntha is Narayan. They go to Krishna because they worship Krishna, but not in the mood of his intimate devotees in Gokula. So they go in Goloka, but there is this is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura, another manifestation of Gokula, which is called Aishwarya Gokula, where you have Radha and Krishna. But there they are married, and the devotees worship them with own reverence, just like they are worshipped in Dwaraka or in Vaikuntha. So all those who develop the mood of following, Raganuga, the mood of following the devotees, the Ragatmika devotees, they go to Gokula with that mood of Krishna, Vraja Krishna, who is enjoying his different rasas there. But for us, again, what does this mean practically? As I said, this means following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. If anyone of you have seen the logo of Gaudiya Math, which he personally drew, have anyone seen that logo? Anyway, we don't have time, but basically he divides it in two, it's actually six parts. And then you have Radha Krishna, it's on the right side, in your left side, Radha Krishna here and Lakshmi Narayana here. Then you have below Lakshmi Narayana a bell and a ghee lamp, and it's written Pancharatra Vidhi, and above is Bhagavad Vidhi, and on the right side Radha Krishna. Below is a book and a mridanga and a printing press. And then Vaidhi is under Pancharatrika, and under Bhagavat is Raganuga. So for Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, practicing of Raganuga means the printing press, the books, and the mridanga, the kirtan. And Narottam Das Thakur says, Goloka Prema Dhana Harinama Sankirtana. The rasa, the lila, the rasa dance manifests here, this prema in Harinam Sankirtan. And that leads us to the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya here, which are very similar and close to the to that mood of Gokula Vrindavan, but they are not called Madhurya sweet, they are called Audarya, which is like a special feature of this sweetness as mercy. And those devotees who, I mean, usually the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they don't worship separately Lord Chaitanya, Radha and Krishna, but because when you worship Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya worships Radha Krishna, you naturally worship Radha Krishna, and you cannot worship Narada Krishna without worshiping Lord Chaitanya. So those who specifically develop their strong desire to worship Radha Krishna along with Lord Chaitanya, that's their sadhana practice, that's their mood, they attain two forms simultaneously. So they practice simultaneously, I mean, not the practice, when they become liberated, they live simultaneously these two regions, because Navadvip is also a region of Gokula in the spiritual world, is eternally there manifest. Lord Chaitanya, with his followers, they do kirtan all the time, because it's a specific experience of the mood of this most exalted rasa. Hanumat Prashak Swami once, he was saying how, you know, how actually this lila goes on and how it's connected with Krishna's Madhurya Lila. He walks together with Lalita and Vishakha one day, it eternally happens, but he walks and he's really puzzled by the intensity of love of Srimati Radharani. He just cannot, you know, comprehend it. And he's asking them, please, can you explain me why Radha is so much in love with me? Why she's so mad? And then they say, well, this bhava, nobody can understand it. So, but you know, we cannot explain it. You have to experience it. So they just go in some place in Gokula, they turn away somewhere, and suddenly they are in Navadvip. That's an and Lord Chita, and Krishna becomes Chaitanya, they become Swarup Damodar, and Ramananda Rai, who assists him in actually to experience this love of Srimati Radharani. So, you know, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas who develop this mood, they have these two forms. One is in Madhurya Lila, or I mean in the Lila of maybe other Lilas of Gokula, but also in Audarya with Lord Chaitanya together, simultaneously with two forms. Okay, I think I should stop here. Any questions, comments? Yes. But you have only one rasa. What do you mean? What type of rasa with your spiritual master? You have, you have dasya, you are servant, and also. Okay, but this is the general principle. You fully surrender. That's the requirement to actually practice bhakti. That's the first anga of bhakti. Yeah, you take shelter of guru, and there are many gurus. Also, one becomes diksha, and there are many shiksha gurus like that. So I don't understand exactly what you want to connect. What if that determines your rasa with Krishna? No.
Let's say you. Yeah.
Because that determines.
No. No. You cannot have other mood with your spiritual master, another rasa than dasya, servant. You cannot develop conjugal rasa with your guru, obviously. So that will be your rasa with Krishna. I think this is quite clear. You are always a servant of your guru, dasya. We are always a servant of Lord Chaitanya, dasya. So that's our rasa with guru and parampara and Lord Chaitanya. With Krishna, we may have different rasas. So I think it's quite clear you make and ask, but what about the guru's rasa, if that determines your rasa? That might be a valid question. But it's also not the case. Your guru may have a different rasa with Krishna than you. Like in the case of Hriday Chaitanya and his disciple. Hriday Chaitanya is the disciple of Gauridas Pandit. Right? And, okay, so Gauridas story. Gauridas Pandit is in Sakya rasa. Okay, he's a friend of Krishna. Then Hriday Chaitanya also. And Hriday Chaitanya had that mood, and he initiated one of the three principal devotees after the Goswamis, which are Narottam, Shyamananda, and Srinivas. So Shyamananda is disciple, initiated disciple of Hriday Chaitanya, right? Who is in the Sakya mood. And what happened? You know the story, Shyamananda? You know, he had a different mood. He was in the conjugal mood, in Madhura Rasa, and he was in Vrindavana serving under Jiva Goswami, and he was so absorbed in doing menial service. He was cleaning Seva Kunj and the areas around, and he found a, there's no time. He found so it was not from this world. It was obvious. He was very happy, ecstatic. But then one old lady came and he was like, "Have you find something here?" And I found, "Can my daughter-in-law? She lost it here yesterday. Can you give it to me?" And then he actually realized that there's something, you know, in this whole situation. And he was saying, "Who are you? I'm my daughter-in-law." And he actually realized, "Oh, this was Lalita." Came like this old lady, and he said, "Well, I will give it to her, but can you bring her to your daughter-in-law, and I'll bring it to her personally." She said, okay. So anyway, that's in his eternal Swarupa. He saw Srimati Radharani, and she was very happy she got it, and she touched it, his forehead, and then a certain tilak, a little different than this, manifested in his, and then it stayed there. It just stayed there in his forehead. And then Srimati Radharani, Dukhi Krishna Das, yeah, that was his name, initiated them. She said, "You're Shyamananda from now on." And then he told this, and she said, "Don't tell it to anybody." And also she gave him one that big deity. It's still there in Shyamananda temple in Vrindavana. It's in the very curved form of Krishna, Tribhanga. And she said, "If you worship him and those who circumambulate," and very, very many blessings, like 10. And blessings she gave those who worship that Krishna. So anyway, the point is that he told Jiva Goswami, because he said, "That happened, I'm Shyamananda, know what to do." And he said, "Okay, no, don't tell anybody, we just keep it." But somehow the word got to Bengal, and Hriday Chaitanya, "What, he has another name? He's worshipping Krishna in another mood?" And he's kind of got angry, and he took a lot of big crowd of devotees. So there was an assembly, and they wanted to test his imposter or something. So anyway, there was a whole thing, and he meditated, and they couldn't rub his tilak. So they understood actually his story is genuine, and Jiva Goswami couldn't confirm because he promised to not tell. But it happened in the story that Hriday Chaitanya Prabhu understood, and I think Lord Chaitanya even came to his dream and he told him, you know. So he was very happy at the end. But so this is an example, you know, a spiritual master disciple in different rasa. So no. But otherwise, our rasa with the spiritual master is only one. There are no different rasas. Only one servant. Maybe some friendship a little different, but it's not that. And then it doesn't mean that our diksha guru in this material is our, guru, because we have our relationship is eternal, definite, but it doesn't mean that he is our leader in the spiritual world in terms of particular following. You may have someone else, but the Diksha Guru here is the one who gives you the mantra to connect you with Krishna. Shiksha Gurus may give you more advice and lead you, and you may be attracted to different moods, yeah, depending on your intrinsic nature. So, yeah, that's in short. It doesn't make sense that if anyone analyzes your rasa with Guru, determines your rasa with Krishna. It doesn't make sense. Yes. That's what's the description generally, because Raghunuga, it's an internal mood, and those who follow it, they follow also the external rules most of the time. But this is the rules for worship again. Here we cannot interpret, you know, there are no rules in Raghunuga, so I don't need to follow. But this, we follow, everybody follow the rules of conduct. You know, that's how it starts, Upadeshamrita. You know, Vacho, Vega, Manasa, Krodha, Vegam. You follow you control your senses, your mind, and all that, the anger. This is for everybody. This is our rules for us, for our conduct. But the rules in worshipping Krishna are different. I mean, they're set up, and that's why we worship in Vaidhi Radha Krishna as Lakshmi Narayan. Everything is very fixed, you know. You have to do the five times in the arati, five articles in arati. You have to offer at exact time. Like this. So when you are completely focused on the rules only, and the Krishna is like, this is Vaidhi, but when you actually think about the person and how he will like to, then you still do it according most of the time, but you can sometimes, like, let's say it's in the summer, and here it doesn't really becomes very hot, but in India it's super hot at one point, and around 50 degrees Celsius, then you say, I don't offer a lamp to Krishna, you know, to the deity, it's too hot, I don't offer, and this is because it's too hot for him. Or maybe you say one day, you feel it like that, you know, he's too tired from last night, he sleeps, he let him sleep half an hour more, you don't wake him. These are the worst rules in worship, but this you can, the Raghunugas, but normally everything they follow externally, nicely, and internal they have the mood. So I think this is the overlap, you nicely said it. Yeah. Also. Yeah. Yeah, feeling is particular feeling of desire of pleasing Krishna in love, because it can be other feeling, it can be fear, out of fear, you know, Almighty God, you know, punishment. Let me serve Him nicely. Otherwise, I mean, devotees even you can sin sometimes, which is okay. You know, fear of offense, you know, so you become stiff with that. But you know, it's good to be careful. But this is not that important at Raghunuga level. But again, you say even Vaidhi, you do it mechanically, but there must be some kind of devotion. Yeah, the expression that Krishna says, I accept it only if there is if there is something which is, you know, bhakti, love. It's too late. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.